Good morning, church. So good to be with y'all today. Really happy to see your smiling faces. And I want to give a shout out to any visitors who are joining us today. So happy that you're here with us. If y'all would be so kind, we have guest cards in the pew in front of you, peeking up over those blue prayer cards. And if you could pull that out, scan the QR code, fill out as much information as you'd like, or you can fill out a physical copy and put it in the box in the front or back. But we would love to just be able to follow up and say thank you for coming and make ourselves available. If you have any questions about Fourth Avenue, we'd love to get to know you and your family. One quick announcement, there is a gift card drive for Hard Bargain to help with school supplies. And this is a really great way that we can serve our community. There's gonna be a lot more information on the e-blast if you wanna be able to give to support this cause. So we greatly appreciate your generous hearts to help out with something like this. And I wanna give a shout out to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day today. This is an exciting day. That's worth a round of applause. So may today be full of dad jokes. And you know, since it's your day, we'll try to laugh. But seriously, we do thank you so much for your dependability, your wisdom, how much you love us, how much you're present for our lives. And we also wanna thank anybody who's a spiritual father, somebody who is a male spiritual mentor, somebody who has shown us the way of Jesus and given us a great example to follow. Thank you for showing us the way. And like Mother's Day, today might be a pretty hard day for some of you. Maybe some of you have lost your father. Maybe some of you have a bad relationship with your father. Maybe some of you lost your husband. Fathers, maybe you have a hard relationship with your kid or kids, or maybe you lost a child. This can be a really hard day. And unfortunately, it seems like there is a shortage of good fathers in the world. And that's just a harsh, hard reality. And because of our earthly fathers, especially if we have a bad example, that can taint our picture of our heavenly father. And it can be really hard to relate to God as father and believe he's actually good if we don't have a good example of it. And for those of you who are maybe in that situation, I just wanna turn your eyes to Luke 15 and the prodigal son story. You really see the heart of the father in that story. Even though we may run far away from God, want nothing to do with God, he's always home, ready for us to come back. And whenever he sees us a long way off, he will run to us and embrace us and kiss us and welcome us home. That is our God. And then he'll throw a party and give us gifts that we don't deserve, right? So I know it's hard to receive this, but I pray that you have openness in your heart to hear that God is good. Our Father is good, and he loves you far more than you can possibly ever imagine. So again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And this week was a really good week for me. I actually got to spend some good time with my father, who I think is a fantastic dad. And it was just really good having some quality time with my family in Minnesota. And I enjoyed being up there and having really good conversations and eating good food and I guess going to the most consumeristic place on the planet, what it feels like in the Mall of America. But it was really enjoyable. And I also had a very interesting challenge this week. I was tasked with making a sermon on solitude while having zero solitude time. It was quite the challenge, to say the least. I was really banking on Saturday being a day that was gonna be a time that I could block out tons of time with no distractions whatsoever. I was gonna get a lot of work done in the airport and on the airplane. And then whenever I'm sitting in the airport, I'm sitting next to a guy that's talking to his friend about this character he created in a baseball video game. He's a pitcher for the White Sox, in case you're interested. And was just sharing all these details about it while I'm trying to talk about solitude in a sermon. And then I was like, okay, well, this isn't working. At least I'll have the airplane. Get on the airplane. There's loud noises all the time, and everyone's watching different movies. So I get up. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. And I start watching the movie for a few minutes. I'm like, wait, I need to be making a sermon. So it was very ironic that on a day that I'm preparing a sermon for solitude, I am hit with distraction after distraction after distraction. And it's just so evident in our world that there is so much noise around us. There's the literal noise of cars driving by late at night with loud engines, or the loud music bumping, or a lot of people talking in communal environments and it's just really loud, or maybe it's ringtones or notifications buzzing all the time. But noise, whenever I say that, I'm not just talking about the literal noise. It's just distractions on the whole. And they are everywhere in our world. The constant screens that make our eyes gravitate towards them, the stress of work and trying to do things with excellence because that's what our employers demand, the kiddos and all the desires that they have for attention and need for attention, as well as all their busy schedules. And I've beaten a dead horse talking about smartphones, but I'll do it again. Simply looking at the screen time on our smartphones is eye-opening, right? That shows how much of a distraction something like this can be. And then whenever we're not on our smartphone, we get a vibration that a notification came, which is intentionally designed to make us pick our smartphone back up and get back on it, right? We have so much noise in our lives. But things weren't always, at least this bad. People certainly lived distracted lives up until this point, but it didn't always used to be this way. There was a significant amount of solitude time that was naturally baked into the way that we did things as humans in the past, especially in more of an agricultural age where most people's job was farming or being out in the field. There's a lot of built-in solitude time with something like that. But as the industrial age picked up and now we live in the digital age, it feels like finding built-in time for solitude is harder than it's ever been. And today, sometimes I think we like it. Sometimes I think we like the noise. Because the noise and the distractions keep us preoccupied and keep our minds on things that don't matter, as opposed to dealing with harsh realities that we may need to face. Perhaps those realities are the lack of good community we have in our lives, or how we're truly doing emotionally, or how we need to grieve, but we've been avoiding it, or how we're letting key relationships in our lives suffer, or how we have doubts and questions about God that we have not dealt with. And instead of facing hard realities, we would rather pacify or medicate ourselves with noise and distraction. However, whenever we give so much of our time to noise and distraction, we are not tuning into the most important things in life, or the most important, being with and hearing from the Lord. I can't speak for everybody, but whenever I think about my top 10 encounters with God in my life, I think most all of the 10 have been in situations where I have been with God in an undistracted, noiseless environment, totally attuned to Him. I certainly experience God through other people, through conversations, and in many different ways. But the times that have been the most transformative in my life have been in situations when I have been in solitude. And that's happened so many places in Scripture. I mean, it happens constantly, right? From God wrestling with Jacob and doing some identity reformation with him in the wilderness, to revealing himself to Moses on Mount Sinai and what his character is really like, to God showing up to Elijah on the mountain and speaking to him in a gentle whisper. Solitude often is the time for the greatest encounters with God. So if encounters with God are the most transformative moments in our lives, which personally, I believe that's the case, and if solitude is the way, or at least one of the best ways, that we encounter the living God, then that means that solitude is very important. Because in solitude, you stand before God totally vulnerable. There are no masks that you can put on. There's nothing to hide. There's nowhere to go. All that's left is what is real. So if encounters with God change us, and in solitude is how we best encounter God, then solitude is a vital necessity. I love what Henry Nouwen says. Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. I couldn't agree more. Solitude needs to be a regular practice for a follower of Jesus. If for no other reason, if we're doing the command, example, necessary inference, interpretation model, which I don't recommend, but the example part of that We see the example in Jesus very, very clearly. This was a regular rhythm for Jesus. Listen to this small sample size from the Gospels in Luke 5. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6, one of those days Jesus went out on the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Matthew 14, after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Mark 1, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Very clearly, solitude was a frequent discipline of Jesus. Even from the start of his ministry, being in the wilderness for 40 days and fasting, right? To the end of his life, being in the Garden of Gethsemane, even to what he commanded his apostles to do after they came back from doing the work he was doing in Mark 6, he commands them to go by themselves and rest. And it's important to note that all of this quiet time was accompanied by prayer with Jesus, which demonstrates an important aspect of solitude. The Christian discipline of solitude is not just alone time. Sometimes Christians are a little resistant to this because they see solitude more as like an introverted discipline. However, this is not a time just to be by yourself and chill. Solitude is all about encountering and being with God. When people really experience the power of what solitude can be, introverts and extroverts equally love it. And it's possible that under the guise of solitude, people are actually refining their own selfishness as we can use it as an excuse to get away from people and do the hard work of love that needs to be done. But solitude, true solitude, is all about growing the love that is within us. Solitude is like going to a secret place to spend time with somebody that you love. It's saying, I care about you so much that I'm willing to remove all distractions just so we can be together. And in these solitary spaces, those are the moments that often bring about the best encounters in our personal relationships with our significant other or friendships. But also it's the case with God, whenever we tune out all the distractions that get in the way. I love what Ruth Haley Barton says basically all the time, but in her book, Invitation to Silence and Solitude, she says, the invitation to solitude and silence is just that. It is an invitation to enter more deeply into the intimacy of relationship with the one who waits just outside the noise and busyness of our lives. It is an invitation to communication and communion with the one who is always present even when our awareness has been dulled by distraction. It is an invitation to the adventure of spiritual transformation in the deepest places of our being. An adventure that will result in greater freedom and authenticity and surrender to God than we have yet experienced. I know that last part is so true for me. I think almost every time that I have spent intentional time in solitude, I have experienced greater freedom, authenticity, and a deeper surrender to the Lord. It was in solitude that I first heard the voice of God. And I first felt the presence of the one who is so holy and yet at the same time is so kind and loving and merciful. It was in solitude, in one of the darkest points of my life and in my ministry career, whenever I was really debating whether I should throw in the towel for ministry for good, that God met me powerfully. And he showed me my worth. And he refined the identity that I have in Jesus within me. It was in solitude that my heart finally started latching on to who I am in Jesus. It was in solitude that God showed me every memory, every part of my life, that he has been there with me. From the earliest memories, and I wasn't even aware of God's presence and what he was doing, I see now how he has been preparing me for who I am today. And even as recent as a couple of weeks ago, I had this unbelievable encounter with God whenever I was on vacation with Abby's family at the beach. And there are moments in life, kind of like Moses in the burning bush. Moses was, you know, busy with a task at hand, but he noticed something strange. And he decided to turn aside. to take a step towards that strange sight and be with God. And it forever changed his life, right? So many times I think in life we have tasks at hand, we have so many distractions and busyness that we don't make time for things like that. We might look at something or feel a prompting from God maybe, but we're like, I don't have time for it, so I keep going. But what are we missing? So this other day, whenever I was on vacation with Abby's family, it was one of those moments. I just felt holy. And as I'm walking on the beach, I noticed the moon it's a flower moon that night. And it was unbelievably bright. I have never seen a moon this bright in my life. You might be looking at that picture and be like, wow, that's a beautiful sunset. That's the moon. And as I'm on this beach, I am the only person who is here. No one else is next to me. And I felt this prompting, like, okay, this is a moment that I feel like I'm about to experience God. And what happens oftentimes whenever you're in solitude, whenever you're by yourself in your thoughts, a lot of the dark parts of emotions start coming up. Things that you haven't addressed start coming up to the surface. And that's what started happening with me. I'm spending this time talking with God. And I just felt like I haven't been able to fully give all of myself to God. I felt like there is something in my life that is prohibiting me from doing it. And I kept asking, like, God, what is that? And why is it happening? And the thing that kept coming to my life was doubt. And this isn't now for me, this isn't doubt of God's existence or doubt of if God is good. I believe those things fully. I used to doubt those things in my younger years of faith, but this was more of doubt with my standing with him. Doubt of, am I actually on the right path, or am I just totally missing the mark? Am I missing out on what you really want for my life? And as I'm standing where the water meets the shore and the tide is rising and waves just keep getting higher and higher on my feet, what I'm noticing is my feet keep sinking deeper and deeper and deeper in the sand. And what God was showing me is that with each passing wave, each wave of doubt, each question that I have, as I am standing within him, I am becoming sturdier and sturdier and sturdier, more and more secure in who I am in him. So what God was doing was sanctifying my questions. He was sanctifying my doubts and showing me that if I turn to him in these doubts, in these questions, it's actually making me a deeper person. It is refining me to be more like Jesus. That was a profound revelation for my life. And I wouldn't have had it if I did not turn aside and spend that time with God in solitude. And each time that I've had experiences like this, I've experienced greater freedom from shame, guilt, and fear. And my faith has become increasingly real because I believe that we can have a real relationship with a real living God. And each of these encounters have led me to a greater faith and trust and surrender to God in my life because I know that he is with me and he is for me. This is partially why every year I have a 2-week study break to just be with God and listen for his promptings in my life and for this church for this next year. It's a time where the Lord really performs a lot of soul surgery on me. One of my favorite parts from the Mount Sinai story with Moses is whenever Moses comes down from the mountain, he is visibly radiant, right? He is changed because of this encounter he has had with God. And I know this is true for many of you. Whenever you feel like you've had a moment in which you've encountered God, you come out of that moment feeling radiant, right? You feel like your life has changed a little bit. And basically every time I come out of solitude and have these moments with God, and especially for my study break, Whenever I left last year, I felt like I was radiant. I felt like I was on fire for God, ready to go. So I asked, I'm about to enter into that in a couple weeks. I asked for your prayers for me during those couple of weeks. And I asked that you pray on my behalf for me to hear the voice of the Lord clearly and his promptings clearly, and that it's a time that bears a lot of fruit in my life. I greatly appreciate those prayers. But I hope you see this morning that solitude is so important. From both a scriptural precedent, the way that Jesus lived his life, and from my personal experiences. But maybe you're thinking, Kyle, that all sounds nice, to be able to have the space to do something like that. But you don't have any kids. You don't know what that's like. You don't even know what the word busy means. That might be true. The kids part is true. That's very true. I don't know what your experience is like. I don't know what's going on in your life. And you may be in an environment that is not very conducive for silence and solitude whatsoever. However, I know it's possible to experience solitude at least a little bit. If finding a space for you is a problem, I know people have made space for it in their own rooms or closets, in their pantry if they need to, right? And you don't have to spend hours or spend days with God. I will say those are like the best experiences. If you're able to do that, do it. That's wonderful. But even if it's just 5 minutes, there is a lot of value in simply doing that. So life, it might be hard because of the time that you have, or it feels like the lack of opportunities, but I do think it's possible to practice this in at least some ways. And maybe the hesitancy of practicing something like this, it comes from a fear that you have of being alone with your thoughts and having to deal with what might bubble up in the surface. Or maybe there's fear that if you cut out time for this, you feel like the Lord might be silent and might not give anything to you. Maybe it just feels too hard to get away from all the other attachments because we love our attachments so much. Those have all been wrestlings in my heart. In my life, I've been very out of touch with my emotions. You can just ask Abby about that. Especially in the earlier years of our marriage, she would ask me how I'm feeling, and I couldn't give her a direct response. Like, I had to wait for, like, minutes. And I said, I think I'm feeling this. I wasn't in touch with how I was really doing. I've been so addicted to distraction in my life that it felt like it was impossible for me to even have a few minutes of silence. It felt like I was always needing to do something to keep my mind occupied. And man, since God's been shifting stuff in my heart, I see that all around me. I see that in our culture so much. It feels like people are increasingly unable to just sit alone with their thoughts, even for a few moments. And normally those moments are the time in between reaching for your phone and hitting the on button, right? I know in my life, solitude was a practice that never developed for me naturally. I never drifted into being in solitary spaces with God. It's either been out of necessity that I had no other option to turn to than to turn to God in solitude, or it was a deliberate choice. This, like all of the disciplines, can be a really hard thing to start up in our lives. And there have certainly been times in my life where I've gone out of my way to be in solitude with God, and I feel like I've gotten nothing. I got radio silence from God. Sometimes solitude can really feel like wrestling with God. But as we see with Jacob, even out of that wrestling, something beautiful can happen. However, nowadays, since this has been such a regular rhythm of my life and important practice, I basically always get something from God. It wasn't like that at first. But like many things, it's a discipline that you kind of grow in. And sometimes silence isn't necessarily a bad thing. We normally think of not hearing anything from the Lord as a bad thing, but sometimes silence, just like in relationship, you're able just to sit with somebody and be in their presence, and that in itself is good and sanctifying. And sometimes whenever we think we're getting silence, we're just not perceiving how God actually is communicating with us. So this practice is one that never happened naturally for me. It never developed naturally, but it almost always has felt natural. It's this weird phenomenon. It was like every time that I have practiced solitude, it felt really good for me to do, yet I never ever made time for it. But man, in my life now, this stuff feels like what I was made for, to spend this quality time with God. Solitude for me feels like soul therapy, and I cannot imagine life without it anymore. So I want to challenge us. Let's try and practice this as a church. And there's not tons of logistics in the right way to practice solitude because it's a very simple concept. Solitude is creating intentional, quiet, non-distracting spaces to be alone with yourself and God. And I want to share with you a few tips that have helped me along the way. And this is not like the rule book on how to practice solitude. These are just things that have helped me. Step one, find your secret place. This can look like going to your favorite spot in nature, or your back porch, or a room in your house, or many other places. And a couple of rules with this one are that it needs to be away from other people and as away from distractions as possible. I know a lot of people love the hustle and the bustle of the city life in a coffee shop, right? But you can't really practice solitude in a coffee shop. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. And also, try to remove as many distractions as possible. In other words, silence your phone, put your phone in the other room, and do whatever you can to create a space where you can have undistracted time with God. And after removing those distractions, settle in, get comfortable in that place that you're in. The next thing is take some deep breaths. Inhale through your nose and out through your mouth. Doing that is a resetting practice for our brains. And whenever we're taking deep breaths, oftentimes that's whenever a lot of emotions and stuff that we don't want to deal with start coming up. Or maybe all the distractions or the work that we have to do starts coming up. And guess what? If that happens to you, congratulations. You have a pulse. You're a human being. We all have things that bubble up in our minds that are distractions, right? It's okay. Don't judge yourself for them. Give those over to God. One thing that's helpful to do in situations like this is practice a breath prayer, where you have a centering word or phrase that you come back to. That can be something like, come Holy Spirit, or simply Jesus, or whatever. Just something to help get rid of those distractions or give them to God so you can have that focus with God. The next thing, very simply, ask God to speak to you. This can be as simple as, Lord, please speak to me. Or what I normally ask is, Lord, is there anything that you have for me today? We've talked about listening to the Holy Spirit in a few sermons, and God can sound like a lot of different things. Our own thoughts, gut intuitions, seeing him in nature, a line, a word, a phrase in scripture. It can be memories or a feeling we have or even something in our imagination. There are many different ways God can talk with us. But pay attention to what bubbles up in you after you ask this question. Normally that first response, that prompting we feel whenever we ask God a question is God. Now, that's not always the case. And sometimes, like, for example, on the beach, it took me 45 minutes to feel like I got anything from God. Remember, we are on God's time with this. We don't bend God to our will. Our job is to be listening, not to force God to speak. So ask God that question and see what comes up. The next step is discern what you hear. There are many voices in our world that are in opposition to God. Actually, whenever Jesus was in the wilderness, building up that dependency upon the Father, he was met by who? The devil. Oftentimes, whenever we're by ourselves, that's whenever we have to face our demons, right? There are other voices in life that come into our lives that are not of God. And Satan was even quoting scripture back to Jesus, right? So we need to discern what we hear by taking it through the lens of what we know to be true about God in scripture, by looking at the fruit of what happens if we were to follow that prompting or that voice, and also by taking it to our Christian community, our brothers and sisters who are also filled with the Holy Spirit to help discern if what we heard is actually from God or if it is not. Discernment is extremely important. The next and final one is reflect, rest, and respond, the three R's. Every time that I've experienced a moment like this with God that was really powerful, I took it as an opportunity to journal some of my thoughts down. So one, I can remember it for the future because so quickly you forget what happened. But it's really important to spend that time in reflection, and it creates an opportunity for you to ask God more clarifying questions about what you experienced. After you feel like you've received something from God and you have a clear word from him or a prompting or something, rest in it. Trust in what he shared with you. And rest in the love that God has for you. And the last thing is respond. Oftentimes, I know this is true for me, this may not be exactly how it happens every time, but whenever I receive something from God, it is almost always a transformative word for my life. It's something that actually changes my perception or the way that I'm living. So pray for God to give you the courage and the faith to walk out in whatever he is sharing with you. It's really, really important to respond to what he's sharing. Don't just be like, oh, that was cool, and move on with your life. Be transformed. So this is a very simple practice, but it has potential to bring very deep transformation in your life, as I know it has been with mine. Not because I'm simply going alone to be by myself and I'm doing the right thing. It's because God is the one who brings the change, and I meet God in solitude. So let's try it as a church. I challenge you all this week, find your secret place and practice solitude, even if it's just for a few minutes. And perhaps you can practice this on your Sabbath day, like we talked about last week. So as you have all been practicing and implementing Sabbath in your life, this is a great opportunity to practice some solitude as well. So let's be a church that loves God so much that we yearn to create that intentional time with him, to just be by ourselves with him and in his sanctifying presence. And a church full of people who know the Lord and are with the Lord and listen to the Lord makes for a community that is in tune with what God wants for them and what God wants for us as a church. Whenever we sit with the Lord alone, we are better together. So this morning, during our prayer and response time, I invite you to spend some silent time, unfortunately not solitude time because a lot of you are shoulder to shoulder with people, but ask God how he might be inviting you to make solitude become a regular rhythm of your life and write that in your rule of life. Because God wants you to encounter his loving, transformative presence. And if you are just joining us or you happen to lose your rule of life templates, I think there are some in the back table, or there'll be a QR code on the screen that you can scan and fill it out on that again. But this is a great opportunity to respond to the Lord's invitation. Because really, in that quiet time with God, God can really move powerfully. That's why we have this opportunity after a sermon every week for us all to respond to the Lord's promptings, because God can do so much whenever we just simply ask and are present with him. Also, this morning, if you'd like prayers for anything going on in your life, I'm gonna ask our prayer team to go ahead and move around the room. And they would love to pray with you for whatever's going on in your life. We are a praying church and we believe that God is active and alive and hears our requests. So please don't let those requests just stay in your heart. Share it with us and we'd love to pray with you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for being a God that is present with us. We thank you for loving us enough to show up, even if it's just us. We don't have to be in a big group setting. You care about us as individuals enough that you show up and are present with us whenever we are seeking you. Lord, I pray this morning that you help all of us to slow down in life. We have so much noise and distraction, so much that is blocking the channels of us hearing from you. And if, Lord, if you show up in a whisper at times, it's really easy to miss you whenever we are so distracted. Lord, help us to turn aside. Help us to have a heart to want to experience whatever you have for us. Help us to listen to those promptings. Help us to have courage to walk out and follow what we receive from you, because what we receive from you leads to freedom, authenticity, and surrender. Help us be a church that practices solitude. Help us be a church that follows the example of Jesus in doing that. May we be a church full of prayer and a hunger for more of you in our church, in our individual lives, but also in our community, Lord. Help us as we are present with you in solitude, help us to be present with the people around us as well. We thank you so much for having a personal relationship with us, and I pray that that just gets lit on fire in our church. Help us to crave and want to be with you over everything else, over all of our distractions. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name, who makes it happen. Amen.